Over the past few weeks in this season of Eastertide, we've been looking at different passages from the book of Acts. Stories that tell the story of the spread of the good news of Jesus' resurrection. And what I hope you have begun to gather is that the gospel is not merely, it's not only a statement about Jesus. Jesus is Lord or Jesus is risen. The gospel is also a story. It is a story of a person. It's a story of God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It is a story in which we encounter this unwavering faithfulness of God for a broken humanity and a broken creation. But for much of this story, like the entire Old Testament and the Gospels, the unfolding story of the gospel has focused on a particular people and God's covenant promise with that people. It was to Abraham that God promised to form a people, and that this people, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, would be God's people, and that God would be their God. You see, despite humanity's sin, despite humanity's desire to live life disconnected from God and God's ways, God promised to enter into a relationship, to connect himself to a family, and to be in relationship with that family. And it was in that very same promise, Abraham and his family, where we catch a glimpse of the reach of the gospel, the fullness of God's plan. In Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, it can be easy for a largely Gentile church, that would be us, to take for granted the fullness of the gospel, that the fullness of the gospel has the fullness of humanity in view. But this was far from obvious for the apostles and the earliest followers of Jesus immediately following his resurrection and his ascension. And in our passage this morning, we come to this critical point of the gospel story, where we're invited to see that through this image of a dining room, through the image of a meal, that the good news of salvation, the good news of life with God in God's people, that this good news is for all nations, for all peoples. Our passage this morning is Acts 11, verses 1 to 18. You can turn there in your Bibles if you have one with you, or you can follow along in your order of worship. This is Acts 11, verses 1 to 18. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. Something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' And this happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at the very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were and sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift, let me say that again. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you as a people, a needy people, longing to know the truth of your gospel, that we belong. That you, out of your incredible grace and hospitality, have formed a people that reaches into the depth of sin and calls out children, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, and forms a people marked by you, by your blood. Lord, I pray that this incredible good news would sink in, and that we would indeed be a people marked by this good news as we seek to proclaim the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. So as many of you know, I am part-time at the church, and I'm also part-time at North Park University, where I work in university ministries. I do discipleship with spiritual formation with undergrads. And as my pastoral role has expanded and my responsibilities and work at the church has increased, we've decided that I'll be leaving North Park at the end of the semester, which is just in a few weeks. So this past Thursday night, I took the opportunity to share with my discipleship leaders. It's about 20 students. My plans moving forward and the joy that it's been in walking with them and then alongside their discipleship groups as well in various ways over these past 2 years. And the students then were able to take the opportunity to thank me and appreciated my presence there. But you know what was repeated over and over again by the students? They thanked me for inviting them into our home, Erica's and my home, for a meal. And the words that they used to describe that time together were intimate. It was real. It was open. It was generous. Thank you for inviting us into your life, into your family. There's something about a dining room, being gathered around a table and a meal, that evokes family. And that constitutes a liturgy, a way of being together that forms us as a family. One author calls the dinner table a school of conversation. It's where we learn how to talk, either for good or for bad. It's where we learn how to listen, either for good or for bad. But I want to press that idea even further and offer that the table is a school of being. The table is where we learn how to be together, to be connected to one another. The table is a school of being, which I would offer is why Jesus' table fellowship throughout the Gospels is featured so prominently and caused such controversy. He invited the outcasts of Jewish society, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the poor, the crippled and the lame, sinners, to a meal. He invited them into his school of being, where together they would learn how to belong, how to be together, how to be connected, to be a family. It follows then that one of Jesus' followers would create controversy by eating with the wrong people, which is what we find here in our passage this morning in the accusation against Peter. You went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them. Now, before we hear Peter's explanation, it might be helpful for us to take a step back and see where we are in these series of events that have brought us to this point. Here we are now with one of the leaders of the way, the leader of the way, of this growing movement of Christ followers, Peter being accused of eating with Gentiles. And it's important for us to note that this isn't the first instance of the wrong sort of people being invited into God's people. In the opening scenes of Acts, the apostles heard Christ's command to be Christ's witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as since then, the apostles have been busy. The apostles devoted themselves to teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread in their homes, around dining room tables. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And this was happening throughout Jerusalem and Judea, but not only there. In Acts 8, we hear of Philip going to Samaria, to Samaritans, and then Peter and John following him there, preaching the gospel and praying that they too might receive the Holy Spirit. We also hear of Philip telling an Ethiopian eunuch the good news about Jesus and then baptizing him. And then in Acts 9, we hear the story of a terrorist coming to Christ. Saul, who is ravaging the church, encounters Christ and is filled with the Holy Spirit. Samaritans, a eunuch, a terrorist, were receiving the good news of Jesus and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's in Acts 10, then, where we meet Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, an uncircumcised man who sends for Peter to come to his house and to be his guest. Now, given the accusation made against Peter by some fellow Jewish Christians in Jerusalem in our passage this morning, I think it becomes clear what happens in the rest of Acts 10. That Peter went to Cornelius' home, and that Cornelius and his household received from Peter the word of God, the story of the good news of Jesus. So we hear the accusation. You ate with them, even Gentiles. And this was a problem. So Peter tries to explain. I had this vision. There was this sheet. It was full of animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I was told to eat. In other words, God invited Peter to a meal. God invited Peter to God's dining room table. He invited Peter to God's school of being. And Peter was about to get schooled. Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. To which Peter responds, "By no means, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." Peter rejects God's invitation. Why? Why does Peter refuse to come to the table? Why? Because for his whole life, Peter has sat at a table. He has attended a school of being that taught him that his identity as a Jew, the way of being God's chosen people, a holy people, was rooted in their separateness from everyone else, their separateness from all the nations. Jews were different. And one of the marks, one of the distinctions of the Jew from everyone else was found in the way that they ate and who they ate with. And these laws from the Old Testament, from God, that ordered this way of being, this was a gift. They were a gift to the Jewish people. It was a way of sustaining God's people, this tiny nation, in the midst of a political reality where surrounding world powers were constantly threatening their identity as a people. In one instance, and here's just an example, Antiochus IV, who was a Syrian king, after capturing Jerusalem in 167 BC, he entered into the Jewish temple, into the Holy of Holies, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. He sacrificed that pig to Zeus. This was the political reality within which the Jewish people lived, and the constant threat to their identity as a people to which they faced. The Jewish people's efforts to separateness at the table, separateness from others and in what they ate, this separateness, this set apartness, holiness, pointed to their connection to Yahweh. It was the Jewish way of being. But here Peter is told to rise, kill, and eat. God invites Peter to a different sort of table, a new school of being, where being connected to God is not rooted in what you eat or with whom you eat, but it is rooted in Christ. In Christ, you are made clean. In Christ, you are connected to God. In Christ, you are God's people, a family. So schooled in this new way of being, Peter goes with these men sent by Cornelius, listening to the Holy Spirit and making no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Peter goes. And as he tells the story of Jesus, of his baptism, of his life, his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and the whole household, just as the Holy Spirit fell on Peter and the apostles at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God's presence with and in God's people. And this gift was given even to Gentiles. This is important for us to see. God has marked Gentiles through the gift of God's Spirit as being connected to God. The Holy Spirit is God's presence. By descending on Gentiles, God has now marked Gentiles as God's people, connected to and with God. So then to Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. The gospel, this message that Peter declared to Cornelius and his family that they might be saved, this unfolding story of the good news of Jesus is the good news that in Christ, you and I are reconnected to God and find true life in God's ways, in love for God and love for neighbor. And here we see the beauty of the table to which God invited Peter, God's school of being. Not only is it good news that in Christ you are reconnected with God, but you are also reconnected with one another. You belong to a family. No longer is holy to be separate, but to be whole, to be connected to God and connected to others in Christ. And I would offer that it is for this reason that I do not think that these Jewish Christians who challenged Peter merely had Old Testament ceremonial laws in mind when they criticized Peter for eating with Gentiles. You see, on the one hand, yes, these circumcision party, these were Jewish followers of Jesus who maintained, though, that Old Testament laws governing, that these laws maintained, that they were still there, that they were the marks of God's people. But these were also Jewish followers of Jesus. And Jesus told his followers on the night when he was betrayed at a Passover meal to eat and drink together in remembrance of Christ. At a Passover meal, Jesus instituted a meal that was to become a school of being for God's people henceforth. That to eat this meal was to point to God's defeat of sin and death, and that in Christ we are saved. We are reconnected to God, and we are reconnected to one another. Peter's action meant that such a meal was to be shared with even Gentiles. The Passover meal, which actually the feast started this weekend for Jews around the world. This meal that in Exodus 12 was told that no foreigner or servant was to participate. This meal, fulfilled and realized in Christ, is to be shared now with all peoples, everyone, everywhere. In other words, yes, in Christ, you and I belong to a family. And yes, in Christ, you and I have to be connected with them. Such is the trajectory of the unfolding story of the good news of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit and God's unwavering faithfulness to a broken people and a broken creation. All are invited to his table. one question, and I have many that come from this passage, and this is for you and for me. Do our tables, do our dining rooms, do they reflect, do they point to the full reach of the gospel? That in Abraham all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Really, the question is, do our tables bear witness to the Lord's table? A table where we are taught the grace and the love and radical hospitality of a God who invites sinners to eat a meal, and to find forgiveness and a new way of being, a new way of life connected to God and connected to one another. That's a challenging question for me. I don't know about you. We're busy. Life is full. Full of things to do, things we have to do, responsibilities at home, responsibilities at work. And we live in a broken world riddled with segregation. A way of being that is rooted in separateness. Separateness because of race. Separateness based off of economics, of age. And our city, even our neighborhood, is no different, which makes it easy for us, easy for me, even comfortable to remain apart instead of with. Remaining apart from my neighbors instead of with my neighbors. Our city, our neighborhood are built this way. Fences and walls. But the good news of Jesus proclaims a different way, a different story. That true life is found with, not apart from. True life is being with one another, with God. And we learn and practice this different way at the Lord's table. Our God's school of being, where anyone and everyone, yes, even them, the ones you don't want to be there, even them are invited to find salvation, life with God and with each other. My prayer is that this table, in this space, this meal, this dining room, where we eat together, would be a school of being that shapes who is welcome and invited to the dinner tables in our homes. Are we willing? Are we willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and embrace the good news of Christ that all are invited, and therefore invite our neighbors who have a name, who have a story? Invite them to a meal, to hear their stories, to invite them into our lives, and to share with them the love and grace of Christ. May we be this sort of people, this sort of family, in this place, for the glory and praise of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the good news that your relationship with the people extends to the nations. And that one day when we are gathered around the throne, we will hear voices from every tribe, tongue, and nation proclaiming that you are God. And that we are your people. Lord God, I pray that we would cling to this promise of this good news that extends even into our own lives, that yes, we have a place in Christ. And that we can be connected to you. To true life with you. Lord, I pray that you would seal this good news in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.